Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla here with Jim Cramer at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Faber has the morning off. Futures do recover what was a nearly 2% drop as Iran so far not signaling retaliation for the Israeli strike last night. Oil is lower, yields lower across the curve as we wrap up the week with some blue chip earnings. Our roadmap begins with Israel carrying out this limited strike against Iran. We'll take you live to the Middle East for the latest on the ground. Netflix, the biggest pre-market laggard on the S&P despite posting a beat on the top and the bottom line. And Tesla's on pace for a sixth straight day of losses, now issuing some recalls for the Cybertruck over faulty accelerator pedals. Let's begin, though, with market reaction to Israel's retaliatory strike on Iran, Jim. So far, not a lot of signals that this is going to cause a conflagration.
No, I mean, I talked last night about what we need amid money at Whoosh, a crescendo of selling. At 10:15, we thought we had that last night. The fact that we now have decided that it wasn't important, but we decided that it is less relevant, so we've come back up, is, again, something I don't want to see. We have to have people decide that negatives are negatives, not that an avoidance of a negative is a positive. So I want to hear more from Richard Engel about Israel, but the fact is that we were down so much, and then we come in, and then we're up? What are we up for? Why are we up? I mean, how about flat? How about down a little? We don't get that. So it makes me suspicious of this up opening again. Because people by the end of the day will say, well, maybe Israel wasn't done. And I think it's unfortunate. It's very hard to game what's going there.
Yep.
But I will say that the exuberance that we feel every morning based on flimsy evidence, it has what's plagued us.
Well, the bulls would hope for something that Blinken talked about this morning, and that is this journal piece that the White House is still actively working toward getting a deal with Israel where they talk about some Palestinian statehood in return for diplomatic recognition from Riyadh.
Right. But I think that you have Netanyahu, who is more of a wild card than ever. And again, I don't want to do, I mean, I'm not a political expert. I follow this one pretty intensely. But I come back and I say, when it comes to stocks, you have proposals throughout this period. And Netanyahu has not gone with them. So, I mean, Netanyahu has been trying to prove his independence. I think he needs history. I think he's back in his days when he was in Philadelphia. 1973, he's got to go over those 5 days where Kissinger convinced Nixon to resupply. And then he will understand where the hell we are. And I think it's very unfortunate that he doesn't seem to know history as well as I thought, where Israel needed everything. Nixon was against it. Kissinger said, you have to do it. It's a democracy. And the United States saved Israel. And anyone who disagrees with that, it just doesn't understand the Golan Heights. So I'm not saying that he's ahistorical. I am saying that he seems to be ignorant of what happened in 1973. And it's going to cost Israel. Historically,
is it to you? Is it mostly about energy? Because Goldman today, again, we see Brent in a range between 75 and 90. Brainerd here saying we're gonna make sure gas prices don't get out of control this summer.
Well, I love the idea that we can control it, but I do think that Goldman put out a good note for alumni, which is that markets may be worrying too much about overheating. And this is a David Miracle. This is the first piece I've read, which just says, okay, enough. With the hysteria about inflation, the fact is there is what he calls catch-up inflation, which is about car insurance and owner's equivalent rent. I'm going to see a car dealer. I'm going to Carvana. Now they're intra-quarter, but you said yesterday something really good. You said CarMax is one that disappointed. Now, they disappointed because prices are coming down. It is at this point because they're bad operators.
Right.
I've met with them. They're probably the best operator, and they're the only one that actually uses AI. So they actually had a sense of what could happen. And look, insurance is something that we all feel. It's funny, you have Jonathan Cantor, Justice, really pressuring Apple. And the issue with Apple, again, is that the phones are so good that people don't switch. Well, how about the fact that if you switched insurance, all it would do is make it worse? But, you know, they're not savvy like that because they're anti-megatech. And the Justice Department is emerging as the one I'm now focused on. The other agency, we know their stance. They seem to be fine. They're consistent.
The FTC? Which one do you
mean? They're consistent.
Yes.
But Cantor has taken on Google, and he's taken on Apple. He's got Merrick Garland on his side, obviously the chief, the attorney general. But when I look at what happened with Apple, what happens with Apple is it has to cut numbers. We'll get that number cut. Then two to 3 days later, we'll say it's bottom. And then the focus will be on the other mega countries besides China. You're going to start hearing a narrative which just says, you know what, we got to start thinking about Brazil, Philippines, Indonesia. We got to start feeling about Turkey. And then, of course, we have to extrapolate India. But they haven't been able to tell that story yet.
You mean as a supply chain?
No. Customer base 3 years from now.
Oh, interesting.
And if they were to focus on the long-term value of those new customers, particularly in India, younger customers, not unlike what I want to talk about when we talk about American Express.
Yep.
What people realize is, for the first time, and I will even go as far as to say Procter's doing the same thing, for the first time, we're not as levered to China as we think. And I think Wall Street is way, way behind the demographic changes that we're seeing. Where did Tim, you know, Tim Cook, he puts factories where he wants customers. This man spent more time in Jakarta than we've seen. Now you could say, well, wait a second, he capitulated on WhatsApp. I would say that he makes deals. He's always been pragmatic. But the pragmatic nature of Indonesia, a country of more than 200 million people, growing like crazy, to me shows, you know, Vietnam, 100 million people.
Jakarta. So you're talking about not just diversifying China's locus as a supply chain hub, but as a customer hub.
Yes.
On the demand side, you know, too.
Our country is addicted to thinking that China is a winner in everything. Our inferiority complex in China is only second to the inferiority complex that Chinese feel about China.
Right.
Particularly after COVID, where they were given the opportunity to have a vaccine and they chose not to have it. I mean, look, Pfizer's had like the worst quarters ever, but man, they make a dynamite vaccine.
Well, Procter today, John Mueller on Squawk, had relatively positive things to say about China quarter on quarter.
Yes. And, you know, I've got to tell you, look, I see Procter down 3. And you could say I'm talking from the home team because I'm talking about because Mike Chappell Trust has owned this stock forever. You can send this stock down. It's not a problem. You can focus on beauty. You can focus on children. But what I think you really should focus on is one key thing. When you look at this third quarter last year and the fourth quarter last year, you had the dollar overwhelming the cost savings. That has been the dynamic that we've suffered. And what happened this time? The cost savings exceeded how much is lost on the dollar. But people don't want to look at that. What do they want to look at? They look at the headline generated by AI, which says the revenues weren't that good. It's really unbelievable that you could get out of Argentina. Genius. Get out of countries where you're selling things for much less you make it. And then you get punished down 4. You know, I'll take the other side of that trade. Now, when it's down 4, that usually means you got sellers will come in. They'll sell it to 153. They'll tackle it down to 152. And then you got to buy it hand over fist. Price this is Procter.
Yep. Organic up 3 was a slight miss, as Jim said. Pricing up 3, volume flat. Here's what Mueller said about China earlier this morning. Take a listen.
China is down a bit as the market continues to struggle. But even there, we're seeing sequential improvement quarter to quarter.
This is a sequential improvement story. It's not an absolute story. It's a relative story. And, you know, you got to parse the Q3 and Q4 to recognize the improvement. But the lack of history of how Procter did on Q3 and Q4 is sending the stock down 4. People must go over the line by line. I went over Q3, Q4 coming into today, and I was pleasantly surprised. And it's, by the way, it's SK2 that is this problem.
Yes.
But you know, they're not going to this new. I'm calling it the we're going to get the Gen Z and millennials when we talk to American Express. But the Gen AI on Procter sends it down. But then Gen AI, they're not looking Q3 and Q4 of the machines. And so you have this stock getting clobbered, and I understand, you know, you want to sell at the opening. And who's cute enough? The hedge fund guys who are supernovas, they'll take that. You'll buy it at 153. They'll sell it down to 152 because that's what they do. They want to sell at 153. They'll sell at 152, and then they'll cover. And the individual at home is saying something must really be wrong at Procter. And I am telling you something's really right at Procter, which is that their costs are down and they didn't have to cut price. And that has been the crucial part. Go listen to the ConAgra call. Go listen to the Kellogg call. Go listen to you can listen to General Mills call. If you didn't have to cut price and your prices fell, Hormel, and your input. Your stock went up. Procter's no different. I'm not going to disagree with the opening because I'm never going to disagree with the guys who are just banging it down. I want to own that thing at 10 of 10.
We'll watch it after the open. Nice 7% div hike.
11 of 10, no.
Meantime, let's do get more on the Israel-Iran conflict. NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel is on the ground in Jerusalem this morning. Richard, the reports here sound like this was carefully calibrated. Do you agree?
It was a very limited strike. And if you look around the streets of Israel, you would hardly know that anything happened. There have been no instructions given to the public for people to take shelter. Traffic is flowing as normal. People are out. People are shopping. The airport is open, airspace uninterrupted. And that's a pretty strong indication that Israel doesn't expect an immediate counterstrike and tried to calibrate its response. And what's interesting is Iran is also downplaying this. We've been talking over the last couple of days how Iran has been making threats, was threatening fire and brimstone, that if Israel attacked, it would immediately respond with a ferocious attack of its own. But instead, what Iran is saying is that since this attack on the airbase, an airbase in Isfahan, was so small that it's a sign that Israel was intimidated, that Israel was too afraid to do more and therefore painting it as a success for Iran. So if both sides can walk away feeling that this was a victory, that is a best case scenario, because that is how you de-escalate all conflicts around the world. You give each side an off ramp. So this is not over, but things are looking like we are heading potentially toward a de-escalation of this part of the conflict, of the direct Iran versus Israel head-to-head. We attack your country and we'll respond by attacking the other directly.
Okay, Richard, first, Jim Cramer, I want to salute you for unbelievably neutral reporting and for also unbelievably situation once again where your life's in jeopardy. So it's unbelievable how good you are. But I want to talk about targets.
Thank you.
No problem. You don't get it enough. Why don't I just tell you? Targets. Why that target? What the heck? Why that target in Iran? And who's there? What's there? And is that not in itself a sign that they're not going after, obviously, really populated areas that could have caused a terrible, terrible tragedy of life?
So this was a military base in Isfahan, just outside of Isfahan. Isfahan is in central Iran. It is a historic city. It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world, really. Certainly one of the most beautiful in Iran. There's an expression in the country, Isfahan Nus Jahan. It means Isfahan is half the world and contains half the world's beauties. It has arches, it has mosques, grand bazaars, a wonderful place. But it also has a military industrial component. The uranium enrichment site is there. Natanz, the biggest one in the facility, that was not attacked. It was not touched. In fact, Iranian TV put out pictures today showing the main circle in Isfahan with traffic flowing as normal. Iranian state television anchors were telling people that things were that they should live their life as normal. One saying that the Israeli strike was no big deal. They showed life continuing in that country. So it seems that Israel chose that because there is also a missile production facility there that produces medium range missiles. When Iran attacked this country, it used ballistic missiles that fired, they were almost all shot down, but that they were fired here. So it seems like Israel attacked a missile production area in order to send a message to Iran, A, that it can get through its air defenses, and B, you target us, we'll target your military facilities. And by the way, Iran's main target in Israel was also a military base.
Richard, Streets listening closely to you this morning. Thanks for that. And hopefully later this morning or today, in the days to come, we can talk about maybe longer term diplomatic pushes. That's our Richard Engel in Jerusalem.
Don't you love journalism? I mean, what journalism was.
Still to come this morning, Netflix slumping despite that sub growth. Details on that straight ahead. Bunch of calls today. We'll get to AXP and Schlumberger and some of the other names making news in the financials in particular as futures now mixed. Stay with us.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Netflix is the biggest pre-market laggard on both the S&P and the NDX after issuing the softer revenue guidance than the street had been expecting. Of course, that news overshadowing a quarterly beat, including 9.3 million additional subs, the company announcing plans to stop providing sub numbers beginning next year. This is co-CEO Greg Peters on the call.
Each incremental member has a different business impact. And all of that means that that historical simple math that we all did, you know, number of members times the monthly price, is increasingly less accurate in capturing the state of the business. So this change is really motivated by wanting to focus on what we see are the key metrics that we think matter most to the business.
Best start to a year in terms of subs, Jim, since 2020.
Yeah, okay, let's, I mean, it gets tiresome. My travel test is not on Netflix, but amazing quarter. And again, I keep talking about using this word parse because we seem to be ahistorical. Those are the two things that are my theme. This was a great quarter. I don't care. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt about their decision, about the way they're going to give information. The essence of this story this time was a verb that they used. I've never really used it myself. You can Google it, doesn't really come up. Eventized. They're eventizing their business. Now, there was a Jason Bazinet on Frank Collins, always excellent show, talked about, was asked point blank about the Tyson fight. And whether it'd be good. And he said, yes. I think that these people are creative. I think that they keep growing everywhere. I think that when you have people just read the darn release, Society of the Snow, okay? This is a movie, 98.5 million views. Now, what does this mean? Throughout the quarter, throughout the discussion, it's about how films breed viewers. Who else talks about that? So you may think that their projections, their forecast is downbeat, and they did. There was, you know, some people saying, listen, I want to be a bad guy. I'm not going to just dismiss the body of work that these guys have done mm-hmm. and how many more people they can still take. And everyone wants to find fault. Now, the stock was up 35 initially. Everyone wants to find fault with a stock that's down 45. Who sets that down 45? That's like the people who said that we're going to have six cuts. Hey, there's a six-cut crowd right down there, down 42. Now, down 42 means down 46 again. This is another 10 of 10 story. Nobody gives these guys the benefit of the doubt. This has been one of the greatest stories in history.
Well, I think, the Canaccord downgrade today says stock's up 90% in 12 months.
Well, good. You know, the good stocks go up. Let it come in. I mean, I'm in no hurry. Right. The stock was up huge. People were asking about what to do with it yesterday. And what have they done? They've accomplished the almost impossible. They have an ad tier, and they don't even have all the money that's going to be made in that.
Yeah, but ad membership up 65 quarter on quarter.
Yeah.
Still gunning.
Yeah, the 10% penetration is all they have versus what they could have.
Right.
The number of countries that are involved. Look, it's an international success story, and all anyone wants to do is call it top. That has been the prevailing wisdom. Call top, call top, call top. Why don't they actually read beyond the second paragraph of the of that bizarre YouTube stuff, which you done? Let me tell you why that stuck. You know how to get that stuck up, and they won't do it. Go do what Jack Hartung, the finest CFO in the land, did, which said, you know what, we got to split the stock. We got people who want to be in the stock, and we got workers who want to be in the stock. If they were announced a split, you know what would happen? People, they would be up 43. I mean, that's how, like, pathetic these opening quotes are.
The other media story to fold in here is the Times piece on Sony in talks with Apollo on financing a Paramount bid.
Does Sony have the money?
To the Times argues anyway, it would alleviate some financing concerns.
Yeah, yeah, good. I went to Champions League. You can have the rest. Sold to you. Can we just go? I mean, honestly, Netflix. The sellers are using ChatGPT, right? I mean, because that's what it has to be. Because you put it through ChatGPT, it talks about weakness. If you actually read it, it talks about strength.
So you think selling is a hallucination today?
Yeah, I think in the end, there are survivors in Uruguay. Uruguay. I mean, there it is, okay? You got a Uruguay movie? Uruguay. I didn't know they made movies. I thought Uruguay was like, they have a good bank down there. Yeah. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, and amortize that all around the world.
That's my point. You know what? I like Prell, and I like Society of Snow.
We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. Pretty busy Friday shaping up, and the futures, as you know, have recovered a lot of lost ground. Back in a moment.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get a final Mad Dash for the week, Jim.
Sometimes you have to go a little deeper than just looking at the earnings per share. J&J won a very big case last night in the Talc case. You remember the plaintiffs are alleging that J&J knew that there was asbestos, which causes cancer, in talc. Now, that view by a firm called Beasley Allen, they have not won a single case. This is, and by the way, just so you know, J&J has been winning these cases and doing a parallel effort to be able to settle everything. What's important here is that there really still no evidence that there's a linkage, even though the plaintiffs constantly say it, and they have a lot of paid people who say it. Now, we're going to see Abbott Labs reporting the bell. Abbott Labs stock was going higher, and then it was mentioned about that a competitor lost a formula suit because there was a terrible tragedy with the baby. I'm saying that maybe the plaintiffs have reached a bridge too far against corporate America, and maybe the Supreme Court one day will agree with it.
Well, Wolk was on Squawk on Tuesday and said they're going to look at foreign financing of the plaintiffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's time. J&J's leading a very informed, sophisticated attack on the tactics of the plaintiffs. There is a plaintiff firm that is very good, which is the Seeger Weiss, and I don't want to think that, yeah. I don't want to dismiss them. They're very good.
Jim mentions Abbott. They are at the big board today, along with Buffalo Bills safety and HeartMate's ambassador Damar Hamlin, doing the honors here.
Hero.
Yep.
Everyone remembers that moment, that heart-stopping moment on the field. And everyone now remembers, there he is.
Yeah, great to see him at the NASDAQ. It's Golden Truly. Matrix, a gaming technology company. Jim, I know you're itching to get to American Express. Bunch of headlines about marketing spend and charge-offs and some weakness, they say, at the small and medium-sized business.
Well, I know. And by the way, Steve Squeri would admit that. Again, if you want to take a long-term view, what matters there is the incredible funnel they have. They don't have to pay as much. The acquisition costs are very low because they advertise on, you know, on a credit card. They advertise where they have to be. American Express has been ridiculed. If you go back to, again, I've got nothing but history.
You're
here,
showing
Carl.
Your age.
I've got nothing but history. But if you go back 2 quarters ago, there was a belief that in October, Steve said that, look, spending was a little bit lower on restaurants. The stock dropped to 160. And then it's been a straight shot. Why? Because the quarters were really good. This was a very good quarter because, once again, he's getting millennials, Gen Z. So you're talking about a 40, 50-year lifetime value of a card. And that's what, if you're in the credit card business, that's what you're trying to go for.
On your card, what year does it say when you joined?
1981.
81? I'm 90.
Yeah, well, I remember getting it. My folks thought that was like the sign that I finally had gotten.
Oh, C.F. Frost.
No longer living out of my car and making a couple of bucks. Look, Steve Squeri is a remarkable operator and also a regular guy. Unfortunately, a Jet fan. You know, think people do that. And I think that this was just another quarter in line with many good quarters. Yes, restaurant not as up as much as I want, but every trend's good. And by the way, his losses, that's what I'm focused on. His losses are much lower than, say, Discover. Much, much lower.
He did say that Discover, Capital One, they've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, they do.
Charge-off still 2-1 is a shade below pre-pandemic still.
Right, but I would point out that this is a man who has reinvented this company and has taken it to being the mind share of the people who are in their 20s, who are who you really need. Is incredible because as he said, he walked me through this once. You see, Jim, in their 20s, they get the card. In the 30s, they start using the card. And in the 40s, they start taking the points and they use the kind of like what my wife does. She's got that stack. And they don't go to me.
Oh, yes.
It's incredible. The bill goes to me, but those little things
all the
go
rewards,
to her.
Yes.
How's that possible?
That's exactly how it
I
works.
I look into that.
Jim, the other trend regarding Fifth 30 Huntington is basically provisions in line, guidance unchanged. That's sort of the running theme this morning.
You want the net interest income to be good. And I actually don't want the net interest income to be good. I want the business to be good. And that's why I continue to like what Charlie Scharf did at Wells Fargo, where he has reinvented the company and made it a fee-based business. So he's off the treadmill. And the treadmill of Fifth Third had very good net interest income. We're going to get off the treadmill as part of a normalization of the economy. And when we do, you want companies that are doing a lot of business, not necessarily a lot of lending, but business. And that's the new Wells. You know, in Wells, the Informatica,
CRM stuff?
They once told me, listen, we have the software that detected the fraud that they were doing at Wells Fargo. Well, I got to tell you, Charlie Scharf has been paying the price of that fraud, but it's almost over. And who knows how well he can do if it's really a bank and not a fee machine. The fees are going to accrue soon to the shareholders, not the law firms.
You've been saying watch the fees, not the income, not the interest
because
income.
Because we have to go back to remembering what makes a bank stock go up. It's a business of fees, all right? Now, Jamie Dimon turned it into a referendum on the world. Now, Jamie is just too existential. I got to get to him. He's become too existential.
It's when you did Philly. When was Philly, your interview in Philly with Jamie?
Oh, my God.
A year ago.
Going to 6% interview. It was a little while now. It was February of 2 years ago? Yeah. I don't know. It was the opening of a... He still thinks like a banker. Look, I love Jamie, okay? He used to think I hated him. Never true. So did Charlie. So why do you hate me? I don't hate these guys. But I need Diamond's got to start thinking, listen, let me talk about how well the bank's doing, not let me tell you about how bad the world is. Because, like, when you interview anyone about the world, they have a similar conclusion. I don't need his view of the world. I mean, it's pretty much like everybody else has.
Right. Jim, in autos, there's a lot to get to. There's the end of this VW UAW vote. We'll see what that means for the union. Sean Fain of the Time 100 list, as you saw, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe I'll sit with him.
and then now, Tesla, the Tesla recall.
The Tesla recall. I mean, look, all it is acceleration, which could cause a horrible crash.
And unlike some other, it regards the accelerator.
Yeah,
right?
The pedal stays down. Yes. Look, it's still bulletproof. It's a ram and run car. I appreciate that. Boy, you know, Jonas, I gave him a call. He doesn't take my call. I love that. But the work he's doing now about where these stocks are, the bottom 10 in the S&P, ex-financial, of course, and you're seeing GM and Ford. I mean, Ford should be buying back every share, for heaven's sake. GM is, Viatris is the only, Viatris are really, well, let's just say a suboptimal company. But GM is the cheapest stock in the by PE. Mm-hmm. And Mary Barra is doing great. Hey, Mary Barra's at Dirt Trucks. The accelerator, it comes right when you take your foot off it and it doesn't keep going. Hey, that's
a plus.
Positive. Then you got the good torque, you know.
We are going to get Tesla on Tuesday. Jonas did say yesterday, situation may well deteriorate further. Is the company exiting the traditional EV business at the margin? It seems so.
Yeah, it is. I don't. You know, it's very hard to criticize a genius. You know, I don't want to be the guy who says, you know what, that Mozart, that Hafner and Jupiter, forget about it. You got a guy who is a genius. When you speak to his competitors, here's what they say. But, you know, he could pull a rabbit out of a hat. So you never know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rabbit is.
Yes.
I don't. I mean, I like to know what the rabbit is.
Right. Well, watch
I had
it.
Rabbit on Wednesday night.
Really?
Yeah, I took that over the pigeon.
That's a little...
What a Hobson's choice, you know?
We'll see what happens when we get on Tuesday. A lot of news in chips. Raimondo's going to be on 60 Minutes Sunday.
Right.
A nice profile of how she's made Commerce a pretty powerful agency.
Out of nowhere. I mean, I remember when Commerce was a place that issued a lot of things and you got really, really terrific dinners.
Now it's the locus, they say, of national security, job creation, manufacturing. And then, Jim, NVIDIA's on the cover of Barron's this weekend.
Oh, kiss of death.
And it's a piece about competition coming. Look out. Here comes AMD. They won the first round of AI. We'll see what happens now.
Look at who comes AMD. You know what? Look, Lisa Su would tell you. Lisa Su, congratulations, winning an award from the Franklin Institute last night in Philadelphia. Lisa Su would tell you that her chips do not offer the software. They're just hardware. By the way, Intel is 100% hardware. But that's what matters. And when you speak to NVIDIA and go to the conference, you realize that the giant leap that NVIDIA has over everybody else. But, you know, with Blackwell, it's going to be unbelievable. The long knives are out for NVIDIA ever since GTC. And remember what NVIDIA did between July and December of last year? It did nothing. And I remember being ridiculed. By the way, I bumped into someone this weekend again when I was in Antigua saying, thanks for jamming me in that NVIDIA. Well, sorry. Sorry about that jam up. Jam up. Mate. I made that
you
guy.
You made it that guy.
Yeah, I gave him a mate. I gave him a checkmate. He mated me. I get checkmated him.
There is some weakness in semis and tech. SMCIs.
TSM. Yeah, TSM is crushing it.
Yeah.
See that? Like the fact that, I mean, when you talk, look, I say own NVIDIA, don't trade it, but I'm not saying buy it right here. I mean, let it come in. Same thing with Apple. I think my price target Apple is 160. How do I get 160? Because that's where I think that people just say, I've had it. Sometimes you have to psychologically think where people have it. Maybe people have had it when it gets to, NVIDIA gets to 790. I hate this up opening, Carl. Oh, I hate it. I just hate it.
Yeah.
Just hate it.
Yeah, we're circling around 5K here.
And what's the thesis to buy today? Because the missiles didn't hit X? I mean, I need thesis. I like Procter. I like Netflix. I like discounts. I like discounts. I don't like premium. And people may hate the semis, but one day they're going to realize that those are the guys that have the good quarters. By the way, Taiwan Semi, it killed itself. The stock was up instantly 2-3 points, but then they said PCs are weak. Well, can we look at that? If you go to HP, what they would tell you, the PC refresh cycle is going to be great because you're going to get a button that's an AI button.
Yes.
So I'm not itching to buy a new PC, even though my TC now, if I press down the letter T, say I get 3 T's, I will wait. Because I want the AI button from Microsoft.
Well, their commentary was kind of confusing because they cut guide on industry, but kept their own growth pretty much intact,
yeah, pretty
right?
Funny, huh? If that were good case, look, ASMLF was a disappointment. I want to hear, Gina Raimondo is so good. And Taiwan Semi is really the one that's embracing. I think she will do the Micron. I can't get bearish on chips ahead of the biggest refresh cycle in PC history. I can't get bearish on chips when I listen to Michael Dell talk about what's going to happen in the future. But I understand people don't know what they own. They don't know whether NVIDIA is. My father lost all of our money on a company called National Video because they had the best picture tubes for TV. Solid state. NVIDIA is not National Video. It's a real company that has a giant, giant refresh that is so amazing that it's going to make it so that Intel left in the dust, AMD left in the dust.
Huh.
But, you know, people look at the stock and then they foment reasons why it's going down. Because that's been the way since we bought in October. It's like, ooh, that stock's down. Let me give you a thesis of why it's down. I'll give you a thesis why Procter & Gamble's down, because people are selling it, but they have not bothered to do the work. And it's very frustrating, because I know it's against the grain to buy Procter, but
yep.
I need you to think that about a dividend aristocrat that is going to have, that finally outran with costs that went down and prices that didn't.
Right.
That's what we're looking for. Costs go down, prices that didn't. That's General Mills, okay? just look at the trajectory of General Mills. That has been the stock. Hey, by the way, the only reason to worry about Procter is because Paul Polman's plan to reinvent Unilever in order to be able to be the most ESG company in the world killed. Plan killed. New rules. And the new rules are, hey, listen, what we're going to do is what's right for the shareholder, and we're not going to be doing what's right necessarily for the planet. Back with a little more plastic, no longer hiring disabled like they were. They were committed to a path under Paul Polman that did cause underperformance, and now they're scrapping that plan. And that's the only reason why you would be negative on Procter, because that is the principal competitor.
Right. Well, not every company has costs falling. So the downgrade of Hershey's today over at Edward Jones
Cocoa,
right.
I mean, cocoa is parabolic. I think that cocoa has a history. Cocoa, 20 years ago had one of these moves, and it was parabolic, and then it crashed. That's one of the reasons why no one is biting on the big decline in Hershey's. If it was really bad, the stock would be at 150. I don't want to own Hershey's because I don't like that particular portion of the formula because I think of the packaged goods because I still worry about the Lilly impact, PLG. I mean, look, if you can't get any Zepbound, what happens when you can?
Yeah. Meantime, Ulta, Jefferies, cuts to hold on. Jim, I know, no surprise, increasing competition from Sephora.
Look, Sephora's better. What am I going to say? And I love Kimball. Kimball. Hey, by the way, let's understand. There is no slowdown because I had Elf on. There's an acceleration. The problem is Kimball has to recognize that they have it. Not only is that Kohl's has a CEO who, if anyone sits down with him, and thank you, Matthew Boss, for setting up a dinner with me, Tom Kingsbury, he will sit there and figure out what it needs to kill the competitors, and then he will do it. I went to a revised Burlington after he took it over, and, you know, it was like buy one, get seven. Pretty good.
We'll watch Ulta. DJT, Jim, is interesting. A couple of severe bounces the last couple of days as we're back to 35. Of course, looks like we have the jury set in the criminal trial. Right. We're looking maybe for opening statements on Monday.
Is that a referendum on Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona? I mean, I always feel like that this is that those are the ones you need hundreds of millions. And you have to figure that pretty soon with a captive board, Trump will be able to cash out. So if you wanted to give to that campaign, and I'm certainly not urging anyone to give to any campaign, it would be better to give to DJT than it would be able to give directly to the party, because that's what can be cashed out. If once they get the, once Trump is able to convince the board that they should let him out of the lockup because right. The stock's so high.
In that similar vein, in media, you mentioned briefly, Jim, this journal story that the Chinese have told Apple to remove Threads and WhatsApp from the App Store in China. Latest censorship demand.
Well, Tim Cook is nothing but pragmatic, and that's a pragmatic decision. I think that it hurts you could argue it hurts WhatsApp Meta more because it shows you that the power of a government against WhatsApp. But I think that WhatsApp's not even included in the valuation of Meta. Like I said, Apple's just going to go down. You know, Apple could come out and say business is better. People say, I'll sell it a couple. I'll sell it down three. I mean, this is one of those situations where until Luca Maestri says, the CFO, we're getting clobbered in XYZ, people keep selling it.
Right. Zuckerberg did unveil this chat bot, which is intended to challenge ChatGPT and Bing and Gemini and talked about AI investments. Take a listen to Zuck.
We're investing massively to build the leading AI, and open sourcing our models responsibly is an important part of our approach. The tech industry has shown over and over that open source leads to better, safer, and more secure products, faster innovation, and a healthier market. And beyond improving Meta products, these models have the potential to help unlock progress in fields like science, healthcare, and more.
You'd probably start toying with it once it comes.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, he's one of NVIDIA's largest clients. Of course, he said ahead of the Time 100, which is now becoming a referential meeting. He did say incredibly positive words about Jensen. By the way, if I were a customer of Jensen, I would do that, too, since you can't get all the chips you want.
Right.
Why do people don't understand that you have to develop your own chip because Jensen can't make the chips fast enough? I think people say he bought 300,000. of the current iteration. He will take anything a black. Yeah, this guy would actually buy the whole. I think he'd buy the whole line, everything that comes off the assembly line of NVIDIA. And one of the reasons why I swear to NVIDIA is because I like companies that can't meet demand. And I, by the way, the housing companies can't meet demand. And one of the reasons they can't meet demand is like you get a firm like KBH, and they commit to a higher dividend and they buy back stock. Yep. You know what they're not doing? Building homes. They realize that their stocks are better investment. Doug Yearley started that at Toll Brothers, where he just said, listen, I'm just going to go buy my stock because it's the cheapest way to buy the better, much better than putting up spec homes. Yeah, that's when the home builders could go up in an 11 hike cycle. Really confounding, Jay Powell, who didn't see that
coming. I mean, Goolsbee would argue it is the high rate that is inflationary itself. Because it reduces supply.
Goolsbee is a very practical man. That's totally true.
Yeah.
I think he actually looks at what the home builders are doing, which is to say, I'm not going to build homes right. Buy stock, which is, by the way, first time ever.
Yep. Jim's right, though. A little bounce here at the open. Dow's up almost 200, back to 50.16. Check bonds as well. I think Goolsbee actually will be speaking today at SavView, but that's pretty much it in the way of Fed speaking data today.
Maybe they're doing that stuff where they don't work Fridays. Don't you wish they only worked 4 days
a week? The Fed's moving to a four-day week.
Watch this great stuff with that Uruguay movie. Why they should do that instead of talk.
10-year 4.6. Netflix remains a story today. We did get that downgrade out of Canaccord. The interesting upgrade, though, comes out of Needham, where Laura Martin, who's had a hold for 2 years as the stock's doubled, finally goes to buy with the target of 700, talking about how Gen AI will benefit this name in particular. Right now, though, down about 8% as they do withhold that data on the subs and ARPU in the coming year. We'll get Stop Trading with Jim in a minute. Let's get to Jim and Stop Trading.
There's a stock that keeps going down that should be long-term going up, which is SLB. The old Schlumberger is down 4% for the year, reported another very good quarter. They're talking about, I would say they're talking about being jubilant, excited. This is what you usually don't hear. We're having an exciting start to the year, and I think that they are, and I think that that's a stock. If you want to be able to buy an oil company other than Conoco, Chevron, or Coterra, then look at SLB. It's not bad. Jim, not bad at all.
I'm just looking at the names we'll get beginning Monday. Verizon, Tuesday Tesla, Texan, Wednesday Meta, Now, IBM. Of course, Thursday's the barn burner with Microsoft, Google.
Okay, so let's take those. I think Now, Microsoft, and Google are going to be good. I think Google actually will be good. The beginning of the week might be a little soft, but we can handle it. And by the way, Verizon's going to, I think, deliver a good number, second time in a row, because Hans has really figured it out. Which is good for him.
Yeah, we'll be busy.
Oh, by the way, Nordstrom.
I was going to say the take privates.
Yeah, don't you love that? I've got here, Nordstrom rejects initial takeover from the Nordstrom family. $50 a share in March 5th of 2018. That's the gang that can't shoot straight. I'm sorry, that's who Tom Kingsbury is.
Well, we're beginning to make a list after Endeavor. 23andMe's in the mix now.
23andMe. Yeah. I mean, they're going all health and... I know there was a really horrible article in the journal about them.
How about tonight?
Okay, so I have one of my most exciting companies, a company I bought a car for, Carvana. I bought it. I didn't like it. I returned it. I mean, it was easier than returning something to Marshalls, which makes it pretty easy. It's easy as turning them to Sears, which, remember that? You could take a hammer back that you own for 10 years.
Yes.
And then John Holmes, I mean, this is a company that does aerospace, and anything that we can find out about aerospace is important, including the black hole that is Boeing.
Tough week on the Hill after that.
I keep thinking about the B-29 and my father was just, oh my God, it was all bad. It was all zeros. And then one day the B-29 appeared and everybody clapped. And they said, maybe we'll win the war. They ought to think about that at Boeing. Go back to that period.
Jim, good show. We'll see you tonight.
History. History matters.
Yes.
Whether it be the third quarter of Proctor, whether it be 1973 or whether it be 1943.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern tonight. When we come back, Wharton's Jeremy Siegel will get his take on this market environment in a minute.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.